Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, National Leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. In part one of our Influencer Risk series, we explored why this issue is gaining traction in retail marketing. Today, we're shifting focus to the practical side of things, how retailers can effectively vet and evaluate influencers before signing on the dotted line. From audience authenticity to red flags in a creator's history, we'll break down what brands need to know to protect their reputation. Joining us is Kevin Ruiz, director in our Risk and Resilience practice. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.
Kevin, so let's start from the basics. What should retailers look for when evaluating influencers' background, and who within the organization should be leading the charge on this evaluation?
Sure. So great question. Let me take the second question first. Who should be doing it? I intuitively think, and I think anyone else would intuitively think, it should be somebody that already has a capability. That would be somebody in your human capital practice, your HR practice, so to speak. That's not set in stone. I don't think there's any right answer there, but that would be where I would have someone lead the charge. As far as what they're looking for, it would be pretty broad. I would say start by looking at their content history. What are they producing? What platform are they producing it on? How do you get a sense of what their values are, their general reputation? Who are they engaging with? What themes are they highlighting? And who else are they collaborating with, both in terms of peers as well as maybe your competitors? You know, are they saying and doing different things on different platforms? Are they sending different, maybe conflicting messages that may not reflect well on you or your brand? Does that messaging, again, does it align across all platforms, or do they cater to different audiences on different platforms with vastly different messaging? And that, to some extent, that would be expected if they're trying to highlight different messages for, say, different audiences, different demographics, age groups, whatever it is. But if they're saying X on one platform and Y in another, then there is a challenge there. I would also ask myself in a larger sense, who is their typical audience? What's the demographics of the folks that follow them? And is that demographic, does that audience, is that the audience that you're trying to engage? And then finally, are the methods, are the messages and the things that influencer tends to highlight again and again, are those the things that you would be comfortable with? Not just the messaging, but the way they're doing it. Are they confrontational? Are they collaborative? You kind of want to think about the content style and tone. And people that are highly aligned with brand and messaging, that's the first thing they're thinking of. So, you know, I guess at the bottom line is, does this feel like a genuine connection to you and to your organization and its brand? Or do they feel like they're just, you know, signing up for tech and it's just an overly promotional thing?
So you mentioned something about being genuine, and I think I want to, you know, dig a little bit deeper on that, right? So, you know, you can spend time following an influencer, understanding the different platforms, understanding their messaging, but how can brands assess the authenticity of the influencer and their audience?
Sure. I think you're talking about, like, is that really the size, yes, of the audience that they're going to promise, right? So you have to very much go beyond that basic follower count and really start looking at and analyzing the engagement rates, looking at the audience demographics for, patterns, right? If you're looking at an audience's, an influencer's demographic, and it's so black and white, then that kind of tells you that might have been something that was intentionally cultivated or unfortunately maybe even created. You also want to look at what other media coverage they're getting, and cultivating, that can help you triangulate, like, who is this person? What is their history and how authentic is it? Do they have an actively engaged, actively participating audience of followers, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, or is it mostly passive, or is it just, you know, folks that have hit follow? How are they engaging? Is it commentary? Is it, you know, just arguments and comments? What is it? What's the tone of that engagement? Is it aggressive? Is it collaborative? All that kind of stuff. I would also, when you're going back and looking at engagement rates and other analytics, look for any suspicious spikes in activity. Specifically follower counts. This isn't as common now, but it used to be very common for people to just buy their audiences, right? So you'd see the spike in follower counts. It's easier to pick that up over time. So it's a little, people tend to take a different approach to that now. I guess, you know, do you generally speaking understand how this influencer came to be an influencer to begin with? Is it very organic, or was there some other approach that put them in the position that they're in, which would kind of lead you to think about, well, how did they even cultivate their audience from there? And finally, are they able to even provide you those analytics, those insights, their performance metrics from past efforts? Obviously, if you're looking to have a younger or a less established influencer to collaborate with, they're gonna be less, I don't know if I say able, but they're gonna have less of a history to demonstrate there. Now, the ironic part is in the world we're working in, you're going to tend to see that younger audience may, in fact, have a much more robust history because they're much more familiar with it, right? They were born in the digital age. So a lot of it is trying to triangulate how much of this is real and how much of this may be manufactured.
It's very interesting, all of this, and the count and the count of the followers and whether they're bots or they're real people. You know, are there any red flags that should raise concerns as you're going through the vetting process?
Yeah, there's some obvious things, right? A lot of followers that you can very easily determine were all acquired or all started following at the same time. You know, you're looking for fake followers, right? Bots, so to speak. Inconsistent posting, where you may see, you know, one message that's saying one thing or one series of messages, and then it vastly changes. That tends to create some questions in my mind. Past controversies, always a red flag, obviously. But then there's also some other things. Ongoing history of engagement with other brands, rather than just a one-off, hey, you're buying my time to fire off three messages about whatever it is that you're trying to sell. Are they building sustained relationships with other brands? Who are those brands? Who are they endorsing? Honestly, if something feels off, if something feels like it's not right, ask questions, dig deeper, or really walk away. You know, there's no wrong answer to that. I would also say one more thing. If they're making promises of who they can introduce you to or who they can get you in front of, that is usually a red flag for me.
Really, really great. That's great insight there. How deep are retailers go in researching an influencer's history?
I mean, that kind of a subjective thing. As I mentioned, you obviously have to go beyond that surface level of just looking at their follower count, right? You have to look at the past collaboration events, other media coverage. I know that there are people that are doing this right now that are evaluating their influencers, and they're doing formal background checks. They're leveraging their the same way they would hire employees. They're going through the same sort of steps. And honestly, if you're significantly concerned about potential reputation impacts, this may not be the right influencer for you. Obviously, you want to think carefully about your brand and its reputation and how it aligns with that influencer or the other influencer cohorts that you're looking to engage with.
Yeah, thank you. Those are all really great points and great input. Vetting influencers is really just the beginning. Managing those relationships over time is where the real work begins. Be sure to subscribe to the 60 Second Retail and stay tuned for part 3, where we will explore how retailers can monitor and manage influencers' partnerships to protect their brands long term. Thank you and have a great day.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO's services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.